Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we continue our discussion of the Book of Romans. The Book of Romans that presents to us God's system of salvation, which of course is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one and only way that man can be made right before God. And Paul begins this book by establishing the need of a system of salvation. There would be no need for salvation if there wasn't any need for it. But there is a need for it, and this revelation of God tells us how God justifies man. But it also reveals to us the wrath of God against ungodliness. And this revelation is given to us here in this book, in fact, throughout the entire Bible. Now, in the first chapter, the writer, Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, has shown the condemnation of those who should have known better than to persist in going their own way and living in ways that are rebellious to, in fact, alienated from the truth of God, the way that God would require men to live. And this chapter affirms the tremendous need of salvation for such people. And the people to whom he seems to have reference, of course, is the Gentile people, the people who turn from God. They were without excuse. They had every evidence of the reality of God. But professing themselves to be wise, they showed themselves to be fools, they denied God, they turned to idolatry and to all the sinful practices that characterize those who turn from God. And so chapter 1 of the book of Romans really emphasizes the need of salvation because of the degeneracy of the Gentile world, what it had become by going their own way. And he shows thereby the need of salvation for the Gentile world. Well, we now go into chapter 2. In chapter 2, the Apostle Paul begins by addressing some who took it upon themselves to condemn the evil that is described here in chapter 1. Now, the condemnation of the evil of chapter 1, it was certainly proper. The condemnation of it was justified. But here's the problem. The ones who were doing the condemning were not the ones to do so because they were guilty of the same things. You see, the book of Romans is a condemnation of sin, whether it's of Jew or whether of Gentile, as well as teaching mankind that salvation is offered, whether one is a Jew or a Gentile. Now we know that the Gentile, as far as we can tell from the Scriptures, received no written law from God. The Jews, on the other hand, the Israelites, they had a written law from God. That law had been given to them through Moses at Mount Sinai. And therefore the Jews seemed to consider themselves qualified to condemn the Gentiles' sins because they had, in time past, enjoyed this sort of special relationship with God. Now, we want to emphasize, though they did have this special relationship with God, it wasn't because of their own goodness. It was because God was going to use Israel to bring the Messiah into the world. And they had indeed enjoyed special relationship with God. But now Paul shows that they did not have a right to condemn the Gentile because of their own transgressions. Now, he is not saying that it's wrong to condemn sin unless you are perfect. He's simply saying, thou doest the same things. The things that you're condemning, when you condemn them, you're condemning yourself as well. And neither the Jew or the Gentile had any excuse from turning from God and going their own way rather than following the way of the Lord. You see, the folly that was committed by the Jews that Paul was condemning was not the mere fact that they were making judgments. Some people think you're not supposed to make judgments. Friend, you can't be a Christian without making judgments. But we'll go into that on another occasion. But making judgments of condemnation against the very things that you are doing is indeed hideously inconsistent. They were wrong in doing that. They were guilty of these things that they were condemning. And Paul asserts that man can be very confident. He can be very sure. He uses the word sure. God will judge things properly. And he will measure with that standard of truth against those who lived as Gentiles and those who lived as Jews. Now, Paul here is exploding this idea that many of the Jews held that they were still special in God's sight simply because they were Jews. There are some people who still hold that erroneous viewpoint, that the Jews are God's special people. But the Jews had been God's special people for the special purposes that we have mentioned. But under Jesus Christ, all men are special before God. Now, friend, do you think Paul is saying to the Jew that you can commit sin and get away with it yourself? Let's read what the Apostle Paul has to say in the first four verses. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? Now Paul is saying, why do you think that you can sin because others have sinned, that God is going to forgive you when you do the same thing? Neither one of them had excuses, you see, for living in this erroneous way. And he is exploding this idea that one is chosen of God simply because of his fleshly ancestry. Now he says God is long-suffering. God is not, however, tolerant of sin. It's like what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, indeed, one is not always immediately punished because of his sins. But Paul is pleading with these people. Don't confuse the purpose of the long-suffering of God. God's long-suffering, his goodness, his forbearance, it's not to say sin is all right, I'm just going to ignore it. He is allowing men a greater opportunity to repent of their sins. And repentance is a part of the way that God saves man. In no way is God's tolerance his expression of the permissiveness towards sin. So the Jew who would condemn the Gentile, he's saying, look to yourselves, because you stand in a similar condemnation because of your own sins. Now, what has Paul done here? He has made two very significant points regarding God's relationship with man. One, he says, all men sin and need salvation. And God offers salvation both to Jew and Gentile. And in one sense, on the same terms, and we'll show how he's always offered it on the same terms. And two, he says that God will judge the Jew and Gentile on the same terms in that he will judge them according to the law under which they lived. Now, this is not to say that God is going to judge the Jew and the Gentile before Christ by the same law. But he will judge them according to the same principle. We have noticed, and we mention again quite adequately, that Jew and Gentile, they lived under different systems. They lived under different laws. The Gentile had laws because they had sinned against those laws. The Jews had laws, and they had sinned against the law that God had given them. What Paul is saying, that God will judge each one according to the law under which he lived. And before Christ, the Gentiles lived under one law, and the Jews lived under another. But now notice how that he emphasizes the judgment of God. Beginning with verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." You see, Paul is taking note how the Jews had hardened their hearts. They were not penitent for their sins. He is echoing the same thing that he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, for, or 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Paul is showing the need of the system of salvation because man is guilty of sin and there is to be the judgment of God. Now, as far as those to be judged, there are two groups. He mentions these two groups, some by patient continuance in well-doing, those that work good, why they will have eternal life, and those who are contentious, those who do not obey the truth, those who obey unrighteousness, they shall receive indignation and the wrath of a just God. It matters not whether one be a Jew or a Gentile. He will stand before God in judgment, and he will be judged according to the law under which he lived. And of course, we all live under the law of Jesus Christ now. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, in the vision that the apostle Peter had said before he went to the house of Cornelius, he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Well, we see here so far the universality of the need of salvation. And we see how that God will judge all men. And he will judge them according to the law under which they lived. And he will not be a respecter of persons, but he will be a just and fair God in his judgment. We see the universal offer of salvation. And today, you and I, as it's been since the day of Pentecost, live under the law of Jesus Christ. Friend, we're going to continue as we read from the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 12 next time. We hope that you'll be with us and continue to study from the marvelous book of the way that God saves man. It is so important to us all. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.